I like everybody, I was, you get the urge when you're, I don't know, how old was I, 32, 33, and in Britain, and Thatcher was raging at full pace, and it was just turning into a bit of a nightmare. So I decided, I'd seen David Bellamy 10 years earlier, was it 10 years earlier? In the early 80s, when the Franklin blockade was happening, and he was on this amazing green river, and I couldn't believe it on the television. I just looked at him and I thought, this is amazing. Where is this place? And he's being arrested. So it was huge news in Britain at the time. It was just massive that this person had been arrested in a place I'd never heard of that sounded like Tanzania. You know, and so I thought, I've just got to go there. It just captured my imagination. It took me 10 years, and then I basically came to Australia. I had no intention of going anywhere else in Australia. Tasmania was my focus. It just grabbed me. And so I bought a motorcycle. I'm in Sydney because I rode a bike in those days, and I meandered down the coast through Avalon and down through Melbourne, etc., and ended up in Tasmania. And I did every single road on this island, every single road. If there wasn't, and I just stood on the pegs. If it got bad down to Arthur River, I just stood on the pegs all the way, you know, because there was just no graded roads or anything in those days. It was, what, 25 years ago now, 30 years ago now.
So what were your first impressions of Tasmania, having spent 10 years wanting to get here?
Oh, look, I was just absolutely blown away. I mean, I got off the ferry and it was quite amusing, really, because I was so gobsmacked. I got off the ferry and drove through Devonport, and there was somebody waving at me in a field. And I thought, well, this is quite bizarre. So this person was waving at me. And I thought, okay, I wave back. And then I went to On the Road to Cradle Mountain. But I was so gobsmacked by it all that I really wasn't paying attention. And so I crossed paths with a log truck and managed to, Steve McQueen style, just slide my bike under the middle of a log truck, somehow managed to just go under it like Steve McQueen and pick myself up and dusted myself off. So that wasn't a good start. But however, I survived. That's the important thing. So I just had a ball. I just rode around the island, and I arrived at Coles Bay, and the ranger said to me, "You're that girl that's riding a bike around the island, aren't you?" You know? So, hey, I realised it was a small community.
Did you find out how he got word of that?
No. I mean, I just didn't. I can't remember what he said at the time, but I suppose it was very unusual seeing a girl in full leathers, you know, with a lot of luggage, you know, because I was camping and, you know, I just met people everywhere, and it was just absolutely amazing. The hospitality was mind-blowing, but more importantly, it seemed like when you drove through the Huon Valley, for example, that every apple, and it still blows me away today, every apple looks as though it's been placed by Disney and just airbrushed. It's so stunning and so pristine. I just thought, I've just got to come here.
You arrive in Tasmania. You have that experience on the road, which must have been somewhat disturbing, to say the least. What then?
Well, first of all, I just decided to explore the whole island as a tourist. I was a backpacker then, and so I hadn't actually come here to live at that point. And I just went everywhere, wherever there was a map, and I just took the map and I just drew pencil lines on it and just went everywhere. So I just had a ball and went around the island. I stayed in Strawn, for example, and my bike had broken down, and a fisherman stripped out the wiring loom for me and let me sleep on the boat there. It's Snowy, if he's still alive. And it was amazing. Everywhere, people were so kind. I just couldn't get over it. It was honestly like paradise.
To begin with, I dare say that you've seen more of Tasmania than a lot of people actually born here.
Yes, I'm sure I have, because there wasn't a road that I didn't ride up. I mean, if it had some viable prospect of being ridden, I'd ride it, you know? I carried signals with me everywhere I could, so then I learned to take them off with a penknife because it would fall over fairly regularly, and I'd dump the bike quite frequently because you're on these ungraded roads. But in hindsight, it probably wasn't a good move because I could have gone up these roads and nobody, and the mobile phones weren't available then. But hey, I survived. And I just had a ball and just saw the most amazing sights. You know, Henty Dunes at midnight, you know? All these places are just so magical, almost like popping through a wormhole. You know, Alice gets the key to the garden and you open the garden, squeeze your throat through that little hole, in our case, the ferry, you know. And no wonder people migrate here. I mean, obviously, I ended up migrating here. I just did the contrast with Thatcher's Britain, the riots that were going on, the bombings, things that we endured on a daily basis, that's something that Tasmanians can't really understand. It was so dramatic that I just had to change my life.
Tell us about that process, how you went from visitor touring around the state to deciding, I'd quite like to move here.
Well, I mean, it's very simple. In those days, you just applied to do so. You know, this was a simpler time. I just thought, I've just got to make this transition. So I simply applied to migrate here. I saw that there was an opportunity to make a business here, to actually support myself, because Leatherwood Honey is unique to the state. And that is another little story in a way. I fell in love with it. The candied honey, you know, the candied honey. I had a packet of that in my backpack, and of course it melted, but I scraped every little last bit out of that because I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I'd never tasted honey like it, and my grandmother used to make herbal remedies with honey, and so I thought, this is something really, really special, and I just had to do it.
Now, mentioning your grandmother, I'm wondering, when you went home and told people, this is what I'd like to do, what kind of reaction you got from them?
Well, they know me well, and they know that once the idea's in my head, nothing stops me. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be grandiose. It's just that you've just got to make it happen. You know, that's all there is to it. I've all my life, I've crafted my life, as we all do. And I just think you've just got to make it happen. And that's what I did. I came here. I just decided that this is going to happen. I've got to make a new life for myself. And like all migrants, and that's why I particularly have a feeling for migrants, is because no matter what the colour of your skin or who you are trying to make a new life for yourself. And at the end of the day, that's what Ali Sultan did, you know, the car park guy, or I suppose he wants to be called the car park guy. But, you know, he started off and he's worked his guts out. And I mean, that's what I've done. I've worked my ass off for 25 years to make a viable business, but also to employ other Tasmanians, you know. And I, my friends just accepted it and knew I would be leaving. I'm in touch with them, thankfully, by Skype now, with wonders of technology. Skype allows me to be in touch with people, but it also enables business, of course. We do business all over the world. But it's the actual heart of Tasmania. The reason I came here was, again, the honey and the possibility of being able to make something in a quieter world.
Now, we're here in the office. Shall we wander out onto
sure.
the floor?
Yes, by all means. Be wary of the squeaky door here. We'd have to do something about that.
The smell here in your workshop, if we'd call it a workshop, would we call it a
workshop?
Well,
it's a factory. We've moved actually from across the street where we had a smaller space, and we've moved into this new factory due to our expansion into the USA, which is amazing. You know, we're just a friend of mine has taken on the product in the US about 3 years ago. And he has been very successful with it, and we're now going into the Union Square Market, which happens at Christmas in New York in the centre of Union Square, and it's a very sought-after market to get into. It's very, very difficult to get into, and so he's got us into that market, and we're now preparing for that, so it's all hands on deck.
So it's really a Tasmanian success story we're talking about.
Yes, I think so, because I came here with a motorcycle, a card table and $200, you know, and I started at the market. Again, people were kind, they let me in, they shared stalls with me. I'm still friendly with those people now. Thanks, Lindy. She's a lovely woman. They were all very welcoming and kind. And so I started down there, and basically we've grown from the card table at the market with me and the motorbike, which is quite funny because I used to be like those Balinese rice sellers, you know, with everything stacked up on my bike. And now we employ, I think, 12 to 18 people, fluctuating 12 to 18 people. And the product obviously is sold worldwide pretty much.
You mentioned at the moment about breaking the American market. I'm wondering how much the name Tasmania has to do with the interest over there.
Well, that's interesting. You should say that. Is that it? You know, Tasmania isn't widely known. You have to market yourself under the banner of Australia. you know. The person concerned is very, you know, the individual that's doing it for us, he's very, very good, and he knows his market pretty well. But Australia is widely known, of course, but Tasmania is getting press increasingly, but people are not necessarily aware of Tasmania as such. I'll take you over to the production area if you like.
Yes, the smell is incredible.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, well, you see, the leatherwood beeswax and honey has its own unique smell, but we use, obviously, all essential oils. We use every raw ingredient, because when I came here, I realized that there were so many raw ingredients that you could use that were absolutely fantastic. We use only food ingredients, so we started from the beginning, and the food ingredients are exactly what I wanted. Oatmeal, goat's milk, honey, seaweed. I don't think there is a foodstuff that we don't use. Olive oil, and obviously Tasmanian olive oil is coming on stream now, so it's really good. We try to do everything environmentally. For example, this year we've calculated that we've put, we've saved from landfill 1 million pieces of plastic packaging. So we don't use any plastics at all. We've never used plastics and never will. We use only paper, wood, tin, and recycled cardboard. It's been very hard, though, because obviously the costs associated with glass, the costs associated with quality cardboard, and not going down the cheap route of plastic packaging is much more costly. But it's ethically the right thing to do. So everything here biodegrades, everything that's washed off your skin into the environment, because people don't think about this too much, everything that's washed off your skin into the environment means that it's biodegradable. It will be degrade completely harmlessly because it's food products. And I thought, I started really in a way because of eczema. I had the most appalling eczema, you know, when I'm in my 20s, and I wanted to try to recover from that. And I couldn't find any way to do this. All the products that I used hurt me. I mean, they just made my skin red and sore. And I was actually in a sales job. So, I mean, it wasn't a good look, you know. So I went back to my grandmother's formulas that she used to make. She had a herb garden when I was a child. And she was passionate about herbs. And the same for me, completely passionate about herbs. So that's how I started, using my grandmother's formulas, and went back over them, tweaked them, and obviously expanded and taught myself everything I needed to know.
Jill Saunders, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's great to meet you.
Thank you very much indeed, Paul.